This is Trend Watch for Youth Beat Radio. A healthy trend is springing up across Columbus. Central Ohioans are putting their green thumbs to work in dozens of community gardens springing up across Central Ohio. Some are small, maybe part of a church's youth group project, or maybe a high school's community service program. Others, like the Mound Street Community Garden, have been initiated by programs and organizations that bring larger communities together. In 2012, Franklin Commons created a green space where gardeners can grow and produce for themselves or for donation. Easily accessible, the Mound Street Community Gardens are located in the heart of downtown Columbus, with garden plots assigned to the care of volunteers. Either way, it's easy to get involved, and there are dozens of local gardens where volunteers are always needed. These gardens combat hunger and obesity while bringing communities together and getting participants involved in the outdoors. They also address food desertification by providing local residents with healthy, organically grown produce. For Youth Beat Radio's Trend Watch, this is Devin B. reporting.
Good evening. I'm your host, Nicole Jackson, and welcome to Youth Beat Radio on Columbus Community Radio. First up, we have a special feature story on Cedar Bog Nature Preserve, located in Urbana, Ohio. The Cedar Bog Nature Preserve was the first nature preserve in Ohio purchased with state money and is considered by many to be Ohio's premier natural area. Owned by the state of Ohio, the site is operated by the nonprofit Cedar Bog Association for the Ohio History Connection. Cedar Bog is a national natural landmark, one of only 25 in the state of Ohio, recognized for its national significance. It ranks the highest of any site among all others in the state on the Ohio Floristic Diversity Index for its great diversity of plants. Christy Lakey's professor at The Ohio State University in Rural Sociology had the chance to speak with Cheryl Irwin, a volunteer at Cedar Bog Nature Preserve, about this beautiful space.
Ohio has over 100 nature preserves throughout the state, and each is unique in its own way. I'm here today with Cheryl Irwin, one of the volunteers at Cedar Bog. So welcome to the show, Cheryl.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
Please tell the listeners about Cedar Bog.
Well, Cedar Bog is around 450 acres. We are one of the most floristically diverse places in the state, which means we have the highest number of threatened and endangered species in the state. We have 45 of the threatened and endangered species, and we have a variety of rare plants that only grow here because of where we are and how we came to be, which is left over from the Ice Age.
What are some unique features and some examples of some different plants and different kinds of wildlife, different kinds of creatures that are here at Cedar Bog?
Well, you were here today for our dragonfly talk, and we have one of the smallest dragonfly. There's the elfin skimmer, and we also have other rare dragonflies here. We have mammals, we have mink that you'll occasionally see walking along the boardwalk. Of course, we have deer like you have all over the state. We just have a variety of rare plants, mostly. A lot of our orchids, we have the showy lady slipper orchids. We have our purple fringed orchid is blooming. And then we have a variety of rare sedges that only grow here because of the type of soil we have and the water. I do the skunk cabbage walk in February, and I always tell people on that walk, if you can, come at least every 2 weeks throughout the year, and it's going to look different because the skunk cabbage plant itself looks like a completely different plant depending on what time of year you come to the bog and see it. And then we have the spring wildflowers, some of the woodland wildflowers that have bloomed. And then we have our orchids that bloom. We have blue flag iris. Every time you come, it's the end of the season for one plant and the beginning of a season for another, and you never know what you might find.
We're here at Cedar Bog, but Cedar Bog is not a bog. It's a fen. Can you tell us what a fen is and how that's different from a bog?
Yes. The easiest way to explain it is fens flush, bogs clog. If you come to Cedar Bog, you'll see those signs on the wall. With a fen, which is what we are, our water is coming up from underneath the ground. There's a lot of pressure, and it's washing across the surface, kind of washing things away. So there's a constant flow of water through a fen. In a bog, the water that comes in is usually rainwater and runoff and kind of flows into the bog area and just sits. And as plant material and things fall in, they kind of decay, and that's where you get a lot of your peat. So a bog tends to clog up, kind of like if everything fell into a bathtub and you'd left the drain in, it would clog up. Whereas we're constantly flushing, kind of like a toilet in your home, constantly flushing things off the surface with the water that's flowing. Most people don't really know the difference, and it historically, years and years ago, was actually known as Cedar Swamp. And then at some point in the literature, somebody changed it to Cedar Bog. And there was some discussion years ago about changing our name from Cedar Bog to Cedar Fen, but we just discovered over time and through discussion, realized that, you know what, it's an educational opportunity. Let's keep Cedar Bog. That's how everybody knows us. When they get here, we're going to explain we're not actually a bog, we're a fen, and this is why.
What is the connection between Cedar Bog and the Ohio History Connection?
Well, back in the 1940s, when this place, when they decided that they wanted to save this unique habitat, Edward Thomas, I believe his name was, with the Ohio Historical Society, went to the governor, Governor Bricker at the time, and said, hey, we need to save this unique habitat. This is a special place. And so we became part of the Ohio History, it was Ohio Historical Society at that point. It's now Ohio History Connection. And mainly because there wasn't really an Ohio Department of Natural Resources at the time. So we are a natural history, which falls under the Ohio History Connection banner. So that's how we ended up with the Ohio History Connection, and we've been with them ever since. We're one of three natural areas that they have.
Could you tell us some of the things that happen here, some of the annual events or other things that are going on here that may be of interest to people?
Sure. We have our walks every year. We have the Skunk Cabbage Walk in February, where we take people out and show them how the skunk cabbage actually melts the snow around the plant. We have our Orchid Walk. Everybody is interested in our showy lady slipper orchids, so we have our Orchid Walk in June. And in the fall, we usually have what's called a Mellow Yellow Walk, because practically everything that blooms in the fall is yellow. So we have that walk going on. And then throughout the year, the second Saturday of every month, we also offer classes. We invite people in from all over the state, experts in their field. For instance, today, Bob Glotzover was talking about dragonflies. That's something that he studied for a long time. And they come in and they do a talk about their particular subject. And then we usually try to go out on the boardwalk to kind of apply what we've learned in the class, see what we can find out in the bog that applies to what we've just learned about. And we have classes every month, January through September usually.
And are some programs offered here for children or for youth?
Yes, we actually have school groups coming out all the time. Children can come to any of our classes that they might be interested in, but in addition to that, every year in October we offer something called Boo in the Bog. And Boo in the Bog is kind of built around Halloween, but we line the walkway with jack-o'-lanterns. We set up five stations out in the bog, and there's an expert at each station talking about a different animal that you might either find now at the bog or would have found here historically. So it's a great educational opportunity for the kids. They learn something about the animal, and it's on a level mostly for younger children that they can really understand. They go away with a booklet that has facts in it that they can discuss with their mom and dad later. So that's one specific program we have for children. Our building is open with our part-time employee site manager here Wednesdays through Saturdays from 10 to 4. We also try to open every Sunday from March through September from 10 to 4 on Sundays if we can staff the building with volunteers, if we have somebody to staff the building. You can come out and take a walk through on your own. You can sign up for any of our walks that are scheduled throughout the year. You can sign up for our classes. If you're interested in being a volunteer, we're always looking for volunteers. You don't have to have a working knowledge of nature and plants and animals, or you may be, you know, an expert in one area. Will work with you to use your abilities and have you help us.
So one final question, just curious to find out how your involvement here has maybe inspired you or others here that you're aware of to pay more attention to what's in the environment around you and to take care of our landscapes.
Well, I started out years ago. I have an associate's degree in natural resources, and so I was always interested in this field, but I just got involved with Cedar Bog about 6 years ago. And one of the things it's personally done for me is kind of opened my eyes to the world around me, so much so that I kind of started in my own backyard. I'm planting a lot of native plants to encourage native animals, native pollinators. That's really helpful. But also just keeping an eye out in my own yard, taking time out to walk around my yard slowly and look closely at the plants, look closely at the insects that I'm seeing. And I've been surprised, because I live near a couple of ponds, I've been surprised to actually see dragonflies in my own yard that I never knew existed there. So that's encouraged me to do that. And I try to encourage other people to do that when I'm doing my walks here, whenever I lead a walk here, share my experiences, and try to get the word out that we'd love people to come visit Cedar Bog, and we want you to come as much as possible. We want you to be a member here, but you can actually do some of this in your own backyard, and it's a great place to start and a place where you can have control over what you're doing.
Be sure to check out all of the wonderful natural areas here in Ohio.
Up next, we have a positively charged segment about a forestry camp called Camp Canopy. I was able to speak with Marnie Tichnell of the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University about this wonderful camp and why it's important for high schoolers to be involved in it during the summer. Camp Canopy is a perfect mix of traditional camp activities like hanging out around the campfire, breaking a leg in the talent show, and dancing the night away with your fellow campers turned BFFs, and it has educational activity sessions centered around all things forestry and wildlife to keep your brains as sharp as a pine needle during the summer months. Hi, this is Nicole with Youth Beat Radio, and today I am here with Marnie Tichnell. Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
So I've been hearing a little bit about Camp Canopy from a few professors here at the School of Environment and Natural Resources. So I kind of wanted to get an idea of what the program is and what you're doing at Ohio State University. So I am very interested in knowing about this program because I've done day camps and residential camps through 4-H a few times in my career. And I think it's a really important opportunity for youth and college students to get that experience to help them figure out what they want to do in their careers as far as the environment. So what is your title, and what do you do exactly here at the School of Environment and Natural Resources?
So my title is the OSU Extension Wildlife Program Specialist. So I work here within the college. I'm situated within the School of Environment and Natural Resources. But I also work for Extension. So as my duties for Extension, I travel around the state. And simply put, I do a lot of wildlife programming. And this camp is just one of the many things that I'm fortunate to be involved in.
Awesome. What is Camp Canopy?
So Camp Canopy is a summer camp for high school students. It's sponsored by the Ohio Forestry Association. It was previously called Ohio Forestry and Wildlife Conservation Camp, so we just recently went under a name change. We were going for something a little bit more simple, but something that still had that kind of fun summer camp feel. So it is an outdoor camp, and the campers are learning all about forestry and wildlife, and they're spending a lot of time outside and a lot of time in the woods.
Where is this located in Ohio?
Camp Canopy is located at FFA Camp Muskegum, which is in Carroll County. And if you're not sure where that is, that's in the northeastern part of the state.
When does the program start and when does it end?
So it's a week long, and it's usually the second week of June. And this year it is June 10th through the 15th.
Can you talk about some of the activities and things that go on during the camp?
Yeah, so students, as I said, are spending a lot of time outdoors, and they're learning about a lot of forestry and wildlife topics. So they'll learn how to ID trees, how forests are managed. They'll learn about how deer, turkey, and other wildlife are managed, how to ID different species of wildlife. And then every year we have new classes and new things that campers learn about. So this year we're talking about reptiles, how to monitor them in the woods. We'll be monitoring fish that are living on Leesville Lake, which is where our camp is situated on, how to trap mammals. And then we're also doing an outdoor survival class this year, which I'm really looking forward to.
That sounds really cool. So with the different activities that you mentioned, what's the target audience or what group of youth are you trying to reach as far as getting access to this program?
We're trying to reach high school students. So that would be if you've completed the eighth grade and you're starting your freshman year in high school, you can come to camp that summer. And then if you've just graduated high school, you can come to camp one more time before you move on with your life.
Sorry, how is the program connected to the Ohio State University?
Yeah, so I'm one of the camp co-directors along with Jeremy Scherf, who's with the Division of Forestry, and Emily Hardesty with the Division of Wildlife, and they're both with the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. So we help to organize the week at camp along with the Ohio Forestry Association. And so we're there the entire week. We're helping to teach classes and make sure the program runs. So I'm very heavily involved in camp in that way and my connection to OSU. But another really important way that OSU is involved in camp is that the School of Environment and Natural Resources offers two scholarships during the last day at camp. So this is an awesome opportunity that campers get to compete for college and university scholarships. So OSU is one of several university and colleges around the state that generously donate scholarships. So we give over $5,000 away in scholarship last day at camp.
That's really great.
Yeah.
What's the process for the scholarship?
So I hesitate to say this, but the campers do have to take a test during the last day. Mm-hmm. So it's very simple, multiple choice, and then they have to identify 20 different leaf samples that they've spent the week kind of learning about. And then so we just take the top scorers, and we talk to them about, you know, if they're planning on attending college and what college they want to go to, and that's how we award the scholarships.
Besides the benefit of obtaining, being able to obtain a scholarship through this program, what are some other benefits for participants?
Yeah, there are a lot of benefits. I'd say that the biggest one is just having the opportunity to spend time outdoors and to learn about how our natural resources are managed. And then if the campers are interested in a degree in forestry and wildlife or a future career in forestry and wildlife, they have a fantastic opportunity to meet professionals in their field. Because all of these classes that we teach there, we bring in over 30 professionals within the natural resources field. So they can interact with those foresters, those wildlife biologists, ask them questions about, you know, potential majors or potential careers. So if the campers are interested in that type of a degree or career, it's a great opportunity. But, you know, even if you're not interested in natural resources, it's still a fun camp. And we still do, you know, really fun summer camp activities like night hikes and campfires. And the campers get to play this really, like, glorified game of hide-and-go-seek where they're predator and prey. So there's lots of fun to be had.
What do you enjoy most about being part of this program?
This is one of my most favorite programs that I'm involved with. So that's a hard question. I like so many different things, but I guess just interacting with the campers, and so many of our campers that come to camp return to camp, so it's so much fun to see them year after year and how they're growing and just their fascination with learning about natural resources. There's so much about natural resources that they don't realize, so it's really neat kind of opening up that door to them.
Do you have the teens realize this is something I haven't thought about doing, but because of this program, I'm really interested in wanting to know more?
Definitely, yeah. So we do ask the campers to fill out some questions at the end, just telling us about their experience. And one of the questions we ask that, like, how did this change your viewpoint of natural resources? And every year, yeah, we get campers that are like, I never knew there was so much to forestry and wildlife. And then we have some that are like, I knew I wanted to go into this, and now I really want to. So those are the best comments that we get. We love reading that and hearing about that.
So as far as the teens wanting to get more information, how can they go about doing that?
Yeah, so we have a new website for camp. It's very simple to remember. It's www.campcanopy.com. And that you can find all kinds of information about how to register for camp, things that you need to bring to camp. And we also have on that page a list of potential camp sponsorships. So if you have trouble getting to camp, we have a list of organizations like local logging chapters and soil and water conservation district offices that are willing to help campers get to camp, and will sponsor part of that registration, if not all of it sometimes. So don't think that you won't be able to attend camp, definitely check out our website, check out our activities and what we're doing.
One more question. How can the parents get involved in helping teens be a part of this program or just get more information in general? Mention an e-newsletter. So
yeah.
Is that something?
Yeah, definitely. That's another great way to stay informed. So we're not going to send out a lot of emails to you, but maybe only 3 or 4 for a year. And within those newsletters, we dedicate pieces of information to campers, to our camp supporters, and then to parents as well. So we try to pick out little tidbits that we think parents need to know, like the camp sponsorships, like the scholarships, and just basic frequently asked questions, you know, what does my kid need to bring to camp? So that newsletter will definitely keep them up to date, and then as well as checking the website.
Thank you so much, Marnie.
You're welcome. Thanks, Nicole.
You are listening to Youth Beat Radio on Columbus Community Radio. Up next is an EcoBeat segment about my trip to Vancouver to attend the annual Children and Nature Network Conference. The Children and Nature Network is leading a global movement to increase equitable access to nature so that children and natural places can thrive. They do this by investing in leadership and communities through sharing evidence-based resources, scaling innovative solutions, and driving policy. I was able to catch up with a couple of participants and talk about their experience at the conference and why they have the special connection to nature and the outdoors, as well as different ways they try to connect youth and families.
Hi, this is Nicole, and I'm at the International Children and Nature Network Conference in Vancouver, and I am here with two parents. Hi, how are you today? What's your name?
I'm Shanti Hodges. I'm the founder of Hike It Baby.
Awesome.
Jasmine Vasquez. I'm the branch ambassador for the Vancouver, BC.
Fantastic. So you had a wonderful experience here at the conference?
Yeah, it was amazing. We had a lot of fun. I met so many amazing people. I went to great workshops. We got to meet for the first time.
Yes,
that was very exciting. And we know each other online, but we've never met in person.
So you have your little one here. What's his name?
Oh, what's your name? Say your name.
Mason.
Mason?
Oliver.
Hi, nice to meet you. So what do you like to do outside?
I want to play outside, playing and run.
Awesome. What do you like to do outside?
I love to play in the park.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
What's your favorite thing in the park?
I love to slide.
You like sliding? That's so fun.
What do you like?
Forest.
You like the forest? Do you like the big logs and sticks?
Yes.
Awesome. And what do you like to do outside with your kids?
We obviously love the forest. We have the mountains nearby, and I love to do this forest bathing thing and just be there in silence sometimes and let him go off trail. That's one of the things that I think Richard Liu mentioned, that don't stay, I think it was Dr. Scott, to just don't stay on the trail all the time, just explore a little bit more. Of course, respecting the natural setting and environment and not try not to disturb nature too much, but to let him explore outside trail.
Yeah, one of the great things about hiking with little kids is that your hike is not what you planned it was going to be ever. So you have a 3-year-old and you think you're going to go hike like 2 miles, 3 miles, it's not going to happen. You're going to go back and forth and up and down. And so it's really fun because you can just explore trails with them and through their eyes. And a trail that may not have been interesting to you otherwise suddenly becomes really interesting.
Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
For more information about the Children in Nature Network and upcoming conferences, please go to www.childrenandnature.org.
Education, if it means anything, should not take people away from the land, but instill in them even more respect for it, because educated people are in a position to understand what is being lost. The future of the planet concerns all of us, and all of us should do what we can to protect it. As I told the foresters and the women, you don't need a diploma to plant a tree. Wangari Maathai.
And this concludes another episode of Youth Beat Radio. For more information about Youth Beat, email us at youthbeat@osu.edu or check out our website at youthbeat.osu.edu. Youth Beat Radio is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, the Puffin Foundation West, and local sponsors. The views expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.